Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Joan Tim, in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey Tim. Today's sermon text is John 12, verses 20 through 43. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to Holy Week. This week is unquestionably the best week of the entire year. It is better than vacation, better than Christmas, better than anything else that I can think of. This week has such emotion, so much drama. It is nothing short of a work of art. From the love in the washing of the feet, to the anguish in the garden, through the suffering of the cross, to the mystery of the empty tomb, I love every minute of it. It is a joy and a pleasure to get to spend this week with all of you and to bask in the amazing work of our Lord. And it begins right here on Palm Sunday. On this great day, our Lord is ready for Jerusalem, whether they are ready for him or not. So he wakes up just outside of Jerusalem, mounts his donkey, and rides to town. And of course, along the way, the people are eagerly greeting him by waving palm branches and laying their coats on the ground at his feet and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And because of this joyous reception of our Lord on Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week, we usually stand out apart from the rest of the week. It is a joyous day, a day of celebration, a day when the crowds of people seem to get who Jesus is and seem to hail him as the matchless king that he is. But I say that they seem to get who he is because we all know what comes next. We all know what the people will wind up doing and how in the end they seem to so completely misunderstand Jesus and his kingdom. And for that reason, the first day of Holy Week is always somewhat confusing. It feels dissonant, or at least contrasting, with the rest of the week, because the rest of the week is so much more somber than today. But I am sure that you noticed that today's gospel lesson wasn't our normal reading for Palm Sunday. In fact, we didn't hear about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem at all. In fact, today's lesson comes after the triumphal entry has already happened. Today's lesson shows us a little bit of the transition from the joyous attitude of Palm Sunday to the somber evening of Maundy Thursday. So perhaps this year Palm Sunday will seem just a little bit less jarring than usual. So what do we get in today's reading that might help us to see how the apparent joy of Palm Sunday turns into the sadness and death that comes towards the end of the week? First, we get Jesus preaching to the crowds. But just listen to some of the stuff that he says to them. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Can it get much more perplexing than that? There are folks here that want to see Jesus. They want to hear Jesus. What does he have for them? He starts talking about seeds. But that isn't all. As he goes on, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." This is what Jesus has to say? This is his most winning message? This is how he stokes up the crowds that just cheered him into Jerusalem? By telling them that the only way to save your life is to hate it, and that the way to receive honor from God is to serve him? This stuff is at the very least perplexing, but probably more like confusing or confounding. But even if the crowd can even begin to grasp the truth of what Jesus is preaching, they will almost certainly be turned off by his self-glorification. The way to please the Father is to serve Jesus? What in the heck is this guy talking about? And he just keeps going with this stuff. He speaks directly to the Father in the presence of this crowd, and then the Father speaks back. Or does it thunder? John makes it clear that this divides the crowd even more, because some hear thunder while others suppose that an angel has spoken to Jesus. Though notice that nobody gathers that it is God the Father speaking. But Jesus just keeps on going. He tells the crowd that he will be lifted up in order to draw the whole world to him. But the people can't even follow where he is going. They have no idea what he is talking about or who he is talking about. But Jesus doesn't clarify. Instead, he changes his imagery and begins talking about light. And once the crowd is utterly confused, what does he do? He leaves. It is no wonder, then, that St. John tells us that the people did not believe in Jesus. And of those that did believe, St. John says, that they would not openly admit it because they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. How does that clear up the confusion surrounding Palm Sunday? How does that address the seeming contradiction that the people celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Sunday, but then jeer and cheer his execution on Friday. Doesn't it make perfect sense? The people are willing and able to do these things because they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. They are happy to join in with the crowd when the time has come for a good party. It doesn't matter whether that party is stirred up over some teacher's arrival for the Passover or his execution for blasphemy. They will gladly join in with everyone else. But Jesus isn't interested in the glory that comes from man. He only cares about the glory that comes from God. So he will let the crowds cheer, but he will take no notice. He will preach to them, but it won't be what they want to hear. In fact, it won't even be in ways that they can understand. The glory that comes from God isn't easy. It isn't simple. It isn't manageable. But it is very good. The glory of God consists in the crucifixion of a single seed, the death of one man that bears much fruit. The glory of God takes love and service rendered to those around you and treats it as service to God. And that results in God honoring you. The glory of God is one single perfect man lifted high on a cross that the whole world might be drawn to him and that God's name might be honored. The glory of God is not the death of sinners, but unnumbered saints fully alive. The glory of God has come to you. Remember that as you celebrate this most holy week. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.